And with that, I'd like to hand it over to a lovely lady who's come up representing East London, Fiona.
Normally, I would say I don't need a mic, but I'm quite shocked how many people's here today, and it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely to be here in the fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous on a Saturday evening, clean, sober, no shame, no guilt, not worried about who's here, not worried about do I owe you money, have I robbed from your ass, you know what I mean? Have I done something with your granddad? I'm safe. You know what I mean? Today I am clean and sober and I am free. Yeah. Amen. So here we go. I'm Fiona and I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I love saying that. I am recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. And if I wasn't, and if anyone has any doubt, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today, because if I wouldn't have been recovered from this hopeless state of mind and body, I'd be outside scoring there. You know what I mean? I would be in the state of, I can't sit still, I can't be with self, and I can't be with yous. And today I can. So I'm truly grateful to Cocaine Anonymous. I just went in the toilet and I thought, I'm having a joke with the girls, and had a joke outside with the girls. They're at the back, I think, as well. And I asked God, please remove this fear, you know what I mean? Let me be of use, let me carry your message and not mine. Because I want to carry my message. And my message, I want to make you laugh. I want to make it funny, you know what I mean? And I want you to leave here and say, yeah, that was fucking brilliant. I've got to get her next time. You know what I mean? But I asked God and I said, please don't let me swear. Because John Pierre was up and it was beautiful. I was listening to him and I thought, oh, please let me be able to talk like that. But and I remember being in a meeting and I was effing and blinding because that's where I come from. You know what I mean? And I was effing and blinding, and someone shared after me, and they said about my swearing. And I sat there, and that shame come on me, and it was like I felt rotten, you know what I mean? And I went all quiet, and all of a sudden I get smaller and smaller, and go into child, and really I want to go into fetal position, and I want someone to say to me, yeah, it's going to be all right. And someone shared, and they went, we didn't come in here to stop swearing, come in here to stop using. But in that, I have to say thank you to that person who said that. Thank you to him, because you know what I did? When they said, was there any CA announcements, I stood up in front of everybody and I said, I want to apologise to everyone in this room for the way that I have been swearing in this meeting tonight. And I think that was a spiritual experience for me, because it was like I was thinking about somebody else rather than thinking about myself. And sometimes it's just not appropriate to be effing and blinding in a meeting. Yeah. So going back to, we normally share, we have a share up about what it was like for us. And I thought about this, what it was like for me, and I've got to be truthful. I can tell you what it was like before I used a drink. I can tell you how I felt after I used a drink. But I can't tell you what it was like when I was in that drink. Really, you needed to have my children up here, because they could really tell you what it was like, you know what I mean? Because I'm that type of alcoholic that I dragged my children from my alcoholism. And it says in the book about a tornado, and that was me. In every part of my using, they didn't know what it was like, what it was going to be like when they walked in from school, what it was going to be like if I went out with, you know... We was talking about it before, about a film called Split. I don't know if any of you have seen it. If you ain't seen it, watch it. Because it reminded me of myself. Multiple personality. You know, like one minute I'd be all happy, dressed in a certain way, big boots, you know, tights, little skirt. The next night I'd be going out in jeans, bother boots, wanting to have a fight. And then the next day I'd be going to in a little dress, you know, like I didn't know who I was. And that takes me right back to the beginning of my share, which is me being born. And through the process of going through these 12 fantastic amazing steps and living the God-given principles in my life today, I can look back and see stuff about myself and acknowledge this stuff. And what I really see is, I don't know if I was born an alcoholic, I don't know if I was born an addict, you know. Don't get in that cauldron, you know, the old witch's pot, who wants to be right. But what I do know for me is I was born empty. I felt empty for a long time, you know. Even in my family, my dad's Scottish, my mum is something, I don't know. I've never asked her, but my dad was a very violent alcoholic. He didn't make me an alcoholic. He didn't push drink down my throat. And considering when I look back to where my son looks at drink and drugs, he says, the state of you, I never ever want to be like that. That never entered my head. You know, when I looked at my dad, I just thought, well, I ain't going to drink like what he's drinking. I'll drink something else. So, like I said, I was born empty. I never felt right in my own family. I never felt right in my own skin. I always thought I'd have to be something to be accepted by other people. You know, my brothers and sisters, I'd come up them stairs. You know, I'd come running up my stairs. And like I shared earlier, it was like I was getting smaller and smaller. You know, that feeling. Like I'd be fearful even with my own family. And they used to say, you're adopted. As I got older, I wished I would have been adopted. But they'd say things like that. And in all of that, I was the same in school. Like, my sisters could have a fight, I couldn't. So I'd be gifted with the gob instead. And then they'd have to have the fight. And then I'd believe it was me. Like, I'm all hard. But really, I was scared of my own shadow. And the same goes for my brothers. Everyone was put on a pedestal. But deep down inside me, I know that spiritual malady, that emptiness has always been there. And John Pierre shared about it, that hole in that soul. And I have continuously looked for stuff to fill it. So even before a drink or drug come on the scene, I believe it was attention. You know what I mean? Any attention, clump round the edge, you know what I mean? It didn't make no difference. And then it was marbles, you know, like... And I'd go round the classroom, everyone was out playing, and I'd be nicking everyone's marbles, you know, out of their desks. And I have to drink the little bottles of milk and have a sip of everybody's, you know, and then have my own to myself. That spirit, like I said, that hole in that soul for me was anything. So I came into it, drinking smoking cigarettes then, and then puffing. And then, bang, alcohol. And you hear it in the rooms. Alcohol did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that's a scary place to be in, really, because I'm not one of those people what I had a brilliant time when I was drinking. Because I'm a shame collector. I don't know if that's all women or just me. Or even if men have it, I don't know, I can only talk for myself. I've constantly collected shame what weren't even mine. And I've been like a magnet, I've just attached to it. It's just like I suck it in. And my consequences, even from drinking, like I was a full damn drunk, I was an embarrassment, you know, like. And I did ask God this, please keep this clean. Because I don't think, I just share. So I'm not going to go into stuff I did, because you've all done it. Maybe not the animals, but whatever. But you've all done things, you know what I mean? My bit is, it comes to the stage with, what I do is, I drink, get drunk, go into black hat, end up with whoever, don't know who they are, and then I'm riddled with shame, you know, like, I remember watching a film, Coyote Ugly, and they said, why was it called that? And she said, about eating her arm off, and I felt like that all the time, you know what I mean? I really did. I hated the situations I got myself into, but I didn't say, it's the drink, I can't stop. I blamed everybody else. If you had my family, if you had my life, if this happened to you, and that fed my illness, constantly fed my illness. So that was my drinking career. I was a full day and drunk. I was an embarrassment. I embarrassed my kids. I embarrassed my family. And I embarrassed my partner constantly. So he come up with the idea, let's have a bit of coke. So I end up going in the toilet. I have a line of coke. Lovely lady puts out two. I think one was for her, but it didn't get to her. You know what I mean? I went up and then I come back down. One in each side, and it felt fucking amazing. It felt brilliant. And I walked into that toilet like Nora Batty. Nora Batty, full down drunk, miserable old prat. And I come out of that toilet like Pamela Anderson. Fucking beautiful. Everyone looked beautiful though. Even the dog. You know what I mean? Everything was beautiful. I was dancing, I'm talking to everyone. But yet I'm a total embarrassment because my husband's there, my children are there. And not once, not that I was a bad mum, I didn't love my kids, but they didn't even come into my view. You know what I mean? They didn't even enter my head. Oh, I've got children standing watching you on the table trying to strip yet again. You know what I mean? That didn't even enter my head. What entered, the only thing going around in my head, where's that bird who gave me that gear? You know what I mean? Where's my drink? I'll have a large. Do me two. That's all whatever come out of my mouth. A large and two. Or a packet. And then what happened then, it went from having it on a Friday night with the old man, having brilliant sex. No children here, is there? Having brilliant sex. Everything's brilliant. He's loving it. He's loving it. He's got Pamela Anderson, you know what I mean? Swinging from the ceilings. He absolutely loves it. But then all of a sudden what happens is, it's good. It's really good for a few weeks. You know, a few goes is really good. But I'm a shame collector and all of a sudden it's like, I'm not remembering things we did. You know, and he's saying that was brilliant. And I'm thinking, what was fucking brilliant? You know what I mean? What's happening here? And that shame is sticking to me. It's absolutely sticking to me. And then it's all of a sudden is, I want to be brilliant, so I better have some more gear. You know what I mean? I want to be what he wants me to be, so I'll have another drink. And then all of a sudden, he don't even want to come home. And so I'll go out instead. And then all of a sudden, I'm going out on a Friday and coming back on a Sunday. And then from a Friday to a Sunday, I'm falling out at the school gates, drunk, joint in my hand, and my kids are rating every moment of it. And my head goes, selfish little sods. Well, it don't. It says something else, but I won't repeat what that's saying. So my head's going, selfish sods. Get in the car, and they're not getting in the car, so I'm starting to manhandle them now. I'm grabbing them. They're getting a clump. Sport little bastards. You know what I mean? And in all of that, they're crying. And then it comes to the stage where at one time they wanted me to drink because they could have their mates up. Go and have a drink, Mum. And then all of a sudden, they don't want me to drink. Fucking control me. How dare you control me? I'm the mother. And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, all of a sudden, without a drink, I've got all these marbles. No, you're not going to play out with the kids down in the flats. You're staying in. You're only 10. And then all of a sudden, I want another drink. I've got a baby that won't stop screaming. So I send my daughter down, 10 years old, down in, we lived down in Hackney then, Crackney, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I send my daughter down at 10 years old, go and get me, and she's crying. I don't want to go. And I go, you fucking go, or I'll sling you outside and you won't come in. I've got the baby, and I believe I'm a brilliant mum. You know what I mean? Because they're fed, they're cleaned. You know what I mean? I'm a brilliant mum, but you go and get me a fucking drink. And I'm sending her out at 10 years old to go and get me a drink. And then it just gets from bad to worse, because then when I can't have a drink, I can't stand this feeling, what comes over me, because my pattern is, I get all excited, getting a bit of gear, getting a drink, everyone's brilliant, I love my kids, I love everybody, I have the drink, do whatever I do, and then I feel like shit, shame, hate everybody, but my kids have to go all through this without any solution. They go through all of this. And all of a sudden, my kids don't want to be with me. And I don't want my kids to be with me. So the best thing I can do, come up with a brilliant idea. Rather than my old man control me and my kids drive me mad, I'm going. So I picked up a carrier bag, filled it up with clothes, and I walked out and I left them. And as I was walking out the door, my son come running over to me, and I think he's going to give me a kiss. So I bend down, and he's 13 years of age, and I bend down thinking he's going to give me a kiss, and he draws back and spits straight in my face. And I look at him and I think, you selfish little git. You know what I mean? I get in my car and I think, fuck them all. Because I ain't got nothing to give anyone. So I get in my car and I disappear for 6 months. And the mad thing is, I disappear in them 6 months, and what happens to me is, I believe the grass is greener on the other side. So what happens is, I end up taking everything and anything. And I always believe, you know, like I dance with the devil, and I always use that term, but now I start sleeping with the devil. And I start doing things that I would never have dreamed of, you know. The morals have gone, you know. I'm walking around the streets, fighting, getting beat up plenty of times. Because all of a sudden you think you're superwoman, gifted with a ugly gob, cause loads of troubles, cause loads of problems. That's my drinking and my using. My daughter got really ill, and I ended up going back home. And cut a long story short, I come into the rooms, the fellowship. I went into a detox, and I end up coming into the mother fellowship. And I go into the rooms, and I get a bit of clean time, and I really want this, you know. I can see my kids smiling, you know. My daughter, 11 years old, sleeps in her bed for the first time, you know. She slept outside my bedroom door, you know, and she sleeps in her bed, and I think, yeah, I like this. I like this feeling, you know, coming into the rooms, being part of, you know, do a bit of service, doing all of that, go through the work, get a sponsor, lovely lady. I ain't telling her my stuff, though. I'm only going to tell her so much, just in case she starts talking about me. You know, and I go through the steps. Do I go through the steps? I believe I've gone through the steps. And then I go away, and I go on a retreat, and I do the steps over like a weekend. Yeah, I'm getting super well now. Super well. Gone through them twice now. So all of a sudden, I start telling you how to do your recovery. I know best, been through the steps twice. Do you know who I am? So then I decide to go through them again just to make sure that I go through them. But not once in any of the times I've gone through the steps have I been honest. Because I don't even know what honesty is. You know what I mean? What does honest look like? Honest looks like to me that you can get hurt. So I'm gonna keep my defects, you know what I mean? I'm going to keep this stuff to me, that way no one can hurt me. And then inevitably, I start going a bit downhill. I start getting a bit wonky. What's happening? Better get some more meetings. Better do a bit more service. And John shared something at the beginning of the meeting, and he said, a moment's silence for the still recovering addict, alcoholic, both inside and outside these rooms. And that's what I was. I was in a lot of pain in these rooms, you know. They say about white knuckling it, but the pain was soul destroying. It got to the stage that I was going to meetings, and I'm doing so well, you know, like I'm 2 years now, I'm really well. And I've got all my kids and my husband sitting at the front, clapping me. Well done, 2 years. My first thought when I wake up that morning is, what you bought me? I'm 2 years. What's the kids bought me? Right, you're coming to a meeting, we're going to a few meetings, make sure you sit at the front, I'm 2 years. All about me. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, all still sitting at the front, all clapping. But really, really, at home it's chaotic. You know what I mean? My kids want to kill each other. Because before I come in these rooms, my son was my minder. I called him my bouncer, because he'd find me on the floors, in bars, wherever. My daughter, my oldest daughter, was my mother. And my youngest daughter, I called her my caretaker. Always reliable to clean up after me. You know, put me in the bath, sort it out with her dad. And all of a sudden, I've come into recovery and they don't know what to do with themselves. You know, they're like, they ain't got no one to look after, no purpose. It's all been focused on me. Like, where's your mum? Where's my sister? What's she up to now? Let's go looking for her. It's just total chaos, you know. And So I get to 5 years and my daughter gets really ill and something happens and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I go back. If I've got no solution in my life, which I never had, you know what I mean? Bodily, I was at meetings. Bodily, I'm telling everyone what to do, believing I am. And but I'm empty. I've got no self-worth, you know, no self-esteem. Don't know who I am, can't sit with self, can't be part of my own family. And I heard this, Jean-Pierre, when he said that about that emptiness, you know, like I was empty in my own family. I gave birth to my children, you know, and I never felt part of. But give me a drink and I can be the best mum in the world, so I believe, you know. Take the drink away and I don't know who I am. And I was like that in recovery. And what happened was I dealt with it the only way I knew. I took a couple of Valium. Ain't a drink though. Ain't Coke. Valley. So I took a couple of Valium and I was outside talking to the lady. I was telling her all about it and all of a sudden I get that warm feeling in my stomach. I didn't know what it was, you know, and I get this warm feeling. Just as she's walking back in that meeting, I'm thinking, here, hold on. I'm sure there was more valleys in that packet. So I've gone back into the meeting, looked around for her, found her, and asked her for the packet. Walked out of that meeting, 5 years. 5 years, walked out of that meeting, got straight on the phone to my doctors. And I've been in these rooms, so I've got educated. I've heard people talking about bad backs, bad leg, you know what I mean? Bad neck, not sleeping. So all of a sudden, I've got all of these ailments wrong with me. And of course, I tell the doctor, because that's what I believe I am, a doctor, and I know best. So I'm going to tell him what he needs to give me, because I've heard it, you know what I mean? I know better. So I come out with a right goodie bag. And I go home, and I start popping them. And all of a sudden, for about a year and a half, the first year I'm in and out of the rooms, but I feel a fraud. I don't feel part of. And they say that loneliness, knowing that loneliness. And to go into a meeting while I'm using, I picked up a key ring at 6 years, and I was totally out my nut. You know, like I think I swallowed about 30 Valium, 20, 30 codeine, whatever, sniffed some Tramadol, and got up and picked up a 6-year key ring. But I ain't had a drink, you know what I mean? I ain't had no coke, so that must be all right. Got it off the doctor, you know, my head goes, and it was on prescription. But it weren't my prescription, you know what I mean? But my head don't tell me that, I just think, well, that's all right. And then 6.5 years, my master comes a knocking, you know, and I walk down Chingford Mount, with my girls, my sisters, we walked in one shot. Maya goes, fuck that. And that was it. No fault, you know what I mean? I've got no solution. I was one for telling you, practice these principles in all your affairs. But if you would have asked me what a principle was, I would have been like that. Well, I don't know. You know, if you would have asked me what God was, I would have said to you, well, what's your God? It's a bit like that, you know, because I didn't have a clue. So I ended up picking up a drink at 6.5 years for this alcoholic. Within 45 minutes, I was carted off, sectioned. And in that sectioning, there was three repeated, one after the other. Every time I got out, tried to kill myself in front of my children. Ended up doing some right mental nutty stuff and end up getting locked away for a little while. And then when I come out, my substance or tablet changed. But that's all right, because it ain't a drink. Because I'm petrified of a drink. I get told things that I've done which I don't even remember, you know. But tablets, I've got control over them. I'm all right. So all of a sudden, my intake goes from 30 to 50, from 50 to 100, you know, my tolerance levels are unbelievable. And next thing, I'm befriending people in hospitals, you know, like all of a sudden I've got a really bad back, they won't give me nothing. Oh, my husband will bring you Sankin, babe, got loads of that at home. And I think, oh, I love her. I'll take her to the toilet. And then all of a sudden I'm going around your ass. And then I'm doing things that I would never have dreamed of. You know, I'm swapping tablets. You know, I'm going through your cabinets, you know. That weren't from a place I come from. You know what I mean? Who, me? Yeah, me. That's what I did. And all of a sudden, I end up having seizures. From seizures going into a coma, you know. Coming out of that coma, my boys, like, washing me down. And my daughter's changing my arse, you know. Can't remember who my kids are, but I've got this overwhelming craving inside me that I need something. And I use again, and I have a massive seizure. And thank God, God is good. God is truly amazing. You know, it wasn't for a long time. God was good when he was doing good. When the kids were behaved, brilliant. When the old man's giving me a bit of money, fucking amazing. You know, God is so brilliant. Got a new car. God's amazing. I've moved, you know. God is really good when things are good, but when they're bad, God, where is he? You know, and that's how I was, totally empty. And I end up, thank God, throwing it forward. I never ever believed I'd come back to these rooms. I was out for about 2.5 years. I stopped talking to my friends, you know, can't look at them, you know what I mean? I don't want them to see me. I don't want yous lot looking at me, you know what I mean? I feel a failure, I feel rotten to the core. But my belief system says to me, well, I've been through them steps 4 times. I've gone through the steps, they don't work. You know what I mean? They're not working for me. And them lot in there, I think most of them are using anyway. I've got the fucking pills in the meeting, you know what I mean? This one's shagging that one's doing this, they're still thieving. So worried about everybody else, constantly, always judgmental, Mrs. Judgmental. Anyway, I end up coming back into the rooms, wow. And for the grace of God, go I. I come back into these rooms, been told 10 minutes, thanks Mikey. Look at me, I thought, I won't be able to share when I get up there. You're going to have to drag me down in a minute, you know that. I ain't got to the juicy bits yet. Anyway. And I ain't talking about the rabbit. So what happened was, and it's not a battery one neither. And it's not anything like that neither. I left it in the shop, I thought it was a bag. Anyway, so what happened was, I come back in the rooms, and as I come back into these rooms, they say about ego. I didn't even know what an ego was, right? And I walk into the rooms, I go to a day program first, and thank God for that one in there, thank God for Jo, she's not with us now. Thank God for these people what work with people like me, you know, counsellors, therapists. Thank God for all of them, you know. They've all got a purpose. And we are hard work, really hard work people. And I know I am. And I go into this day programme and then I walk into a meeting and that's where my ego got crushed. And as I walked in, thank God for them old timers, you know. I am truly grateful for the old timers. Because this fellow who was in there was mental as anything when I was in the meetings when he first come in. And he was there and I fell on my knees and I cried. And it was all men, you know, and I used to really hate men. And I don't now, but I did used to. And what happened was he went outside and, you know, like I cried. I'm dying of this. I really am. I'm going to die of this. And he said, come outside. And we had a chat and everything. And thank God he got a lovely woman to call me. And just bang, beautiful. All of a sudden, she's coming round my ass and blow drying my hair, making sure my ass is all tidy. I don't want her to go and tell any of yous lot what I'm like. So all of a sudden, I'm going back into that actress, you know. I'm going back into maladjusted fee. And what happens is she takes me all through the work. I walk into a meeting. I go, yeah, I've had a spiritual awakening. I have. I feel on top of the world. And I'm 6 months. I walk out of that meeting and I felt like I'd walked into a cloud of darkness. And this voice went to me, ain't going to work. That's it. Ain't working for you. And I got on the phone to a lady and I cried my eyes out and she went, get to another meeting, just get home tonight, go to bed and then get to another meeting. See, I'm the type of person, before I self-harm. I'd self-harm for years. If I didn't cut myself, I was burning myself. If I weren't starving myself with food, I was eating so much that I'd end up having to self-harm, hurt myself in another way. I hated myself. My routines were rotten. And I really didn't think anyone would love me, or I could even love myself. I didn't believe my own kids loved me. Anyway, I go to this meeting and I hear a fella share, and thank God for all different ways. We all work out the big book, but certain people go through it quickly, some slowly, some whatever, a bit deeper. Thank God for all them people, because I was bored as shit of going through it the way I'd gone through it. And I really was, because I really believed it wouldn't work for me that way. And I asked this fella to sponsor me, and he says, no, I don't sponsor women, so I do my party trick. If you don't sponsor me, I'm going to throw myself in front of a car. And he opened the door. And I was like, all snot coming down my face. Anyway, he said, let me speak to my wife. Anyway, he spoke to his wife, and he phoned me up, and it was like, the man from Del Monte. He said, yes. And he said, right, now tell your husband. And I thought, ah, now I'm fucked. There's no way my old man's letting me have a sponsor, a man sponsor. Anyway, I phoned him up because, first of all, that's where the change, that another spiritual experience. All of a sudden, it was like that first principle, honesty, you know what I mean? I was moving forward. And what happened was I phoned my husband up and I told him, and I said, listen, da-da-da-da, he took my hand. And he said, yeah, he'd sponsor me. And he went, thank fuck. He went, because you know what? We are petrified. We can see it in your face that you're going. Because there's nothing there, Fee. He said, just do everything he asks you to do. Just go for it. We just all take a step back. And that's right, you heard Jean-Pierre say it. 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm an addict, alcoholic, whatever you want to call me. And 164 meetings in that 90 days, because I want to do more than anybody. And then all of a sudden, I'm in this work, and I've got that big book, and I'm sitting out in my conservatory, and I'm not getting it. And I go round to me mate, I'm crying. I don't understand anything about the book. Like, but my head will tell me. I've read it so many times. I use it as a door stopper now, you know what I mean? I've read it so many times, it's boring. I just could not understand anything. So it had to be slowly for me. I sat down, got a dictionary, an A4 pad, and I sat there and made it my life's purpose. If there was going to be anything what's going to happen, I am going to understand that big book if it kills me. You know what I mean? And didn't kill me, it gave me life. And what happened? My sponsor, he gave me the work. I'd done everything he suggested, everything he said. I've got service commitments. You know, I was part of Unity Days, you know. Sometimes I don't want to, you know. I could be sitting indoors watching a good film, you know, and a bag of crisps and some curly whirlies, you know. But I'm here tonight because I'm truly grateful. I love this fellowship. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I start going through this work and core, when I see that my palace, you know, like I put a substance inside me and I am going to use and abuse myself. And I'm going to use and abuse you because it is so powerful. It's such a powerful illness that I will do anything to get what I need because my want is gone. It's a need. I need it desperately. And that unmanageability, you know, like constantly looking for external stuff to fix this internal hole, you know, and getting God, you know, like I used to think, I can't wait till I can say God. You know, like, I used to hear people saying God in the meetings. I used to think, oh, shut up, you know. But, and I keep saying what Jean-Pierre said, because I agreed with everything he said, you know. It's that inner strength, you know. I feel filled up. I don't feel lonely. I don't need anybody to make me okay. Because Jesus does that for me, you know. And I'm a market trader. I was born to, we work to lie. I tell you it's an orange and it's a lemon. But believe me, you're going to believe it's a fucking orange and pay me for an orange. You know what I mean? That's what we do. You know, we lie. You know, we tell you look beautiful and you look a fucking state. But we just want your money. And that was me. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to believe anyone who tells me anything because I'm riddled with it. So I have to learn about honesty. See, we have these set of principles, but we don't hear enough about in these rooms. And I needed them, because I needed them to do this. I need them to do life, because I'm dishonest to the core. I'm hopeless. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in you. I don't believe in anybody. I'm faithless. You know, there's no love in my life. I don't even like myself. How am I going to love anybody or care for anybody else? Unless you're going to do something for me, then I might like you. You know, you do a bit more for me, I'll definitely love you. So when it comes to all of these principles, I had to go from the negative to the positive. I had to learn this stuff, you know. Everything I've learned, even to do my family, has come from this fellowship. It's not come from me, and it's definitely not come from my upbringing. My mum disappeared when I was 10. Ain't come from my upbringing, you know. I've learned how to be a decent mum, you know. I don't believe there's any good and bad, but I learned how to be a decent, well, not in this fellowship, but I learned how to be a decent mum, you know. I've learned how to love my children. Respect I got from my sponsor by certain stuff he used to say to me. And by him respecting me, I've learned to respect him. I can respect myself, and then I can respect you, my fellows. I've learned how to be a nan, you know. I've learned how to be part of society. I can go in Tesco's without being followed around by security. You know what I mean? I love that. You know, I can go in shops, and no one wants to know my... Even in the cinema, they don't want to look in my bag. I can do these things. I can hold my head up high, you know. We say, don't leave before the miracle. And the miracle ain't a new car, new house, new fella, new bird. You know what I mean? The miracle for me is just being. You know, I can say, I'm Fiona, I'm an alcoholic. I'm okay with that. I'm proud of self. And I see me in all of yous. And that's the miracle. And it is a good view, John Pierre, up here as it goes. You know, it's nice to see a full room. But like I said, God, the God bit, I hear it in the rooms loads of times. I had to go to church, for me, like it says in the book, seek out what religious people have to offer. And I had to. And in that, finding that bit of love, getting my own film in my head, you know, I'm more visual than I am being told. I learn by my mistakes, eventually. And in doing so, step four, when people say about it, you know what, get rid of them shackles. Hold your red up, I was never a bad person, but I definitely know I was a sick person. You know what I mean? And like I said, my family didn't make me an alcoholic, but they didn't help neither with a lot of stuff. But after going through my step five and doing multiple step five, I went off and I seen an amazing woman, and what she did for me, she said, you need trauma therapy. You need some sort of counselling. And that's what I did. I went off and done counselling. Once I went through the steps, I had a spiritual awakening. My eyes could see different, but I felt different. Then I could go and deal with that stuff. And because I could sit in these rooms sometimes and feel like, well, you ain't been through what I've been through. You ain't done this, you ain't done that. But I've been through a horrific rape. I've been abused by my stepdad. I've been into violent relationships. I've lost a baby. You know, like, I've been through that stuff. But that doesn't define me today. It gives me the strength to carry this message today. Because I do see so many miracles in these rooms. I am truly grateful. I do a gratitude list. I hear loads of suggestions. And my heart goes, rather than listen to this, I can't be with that. My heart goes, give it a go. Give it a go, Fee. And I will try different things. I love being in the work. I love keep being in the work. Keep being in the big book. Keep being in the 12 and 12. Trying different meetings. Getting a car full of us, you know, and going off to different meetings. Talking to new people, you know, and having the confidence to do that. That all comes from doing all of this, you know what I mean? So if you have any doubt, if you are new in here, or if you really believe you can't get this, it's for all of us, you know. But it is about putting in the action. And it is scary. And it's scary. The reason it's scary is because my head used to say, how can you do any of that without a drink or a drug? I'll do all of this without a drink and a drug. I haven't touched anything, nothing, for 5 years. You know what I mean? And the only reason I do all of this is because I get to be with all of yous and in this fellowship, and it's truly amazing. So go for it. Don't be half-bald. We're greedy bastards. Be fully inclusive. Go the full whack. Get everything out of it, because there is so much more to this fellowship than sitting in the meeting dumping. Like you heard John Paul say, John Pierre, put the light on for someone else instead of putting it on for yourself. Thank you.